I don't know that Carl could have picked a better song before this lesson this morning. I want to talk about unity. You think about unity for a minute, and where does your mind go? Have we seen unity in our political system? Brother. Have we seen unity in our marriages? No marriages that endure are marriages where there is unity. My wife Phyllis and I were married for 49 years, and the last 9 years of that, we could finish each other's sentences. Do we have unity in our families? That's a struggle, isn't it? I'm so thankful that my family has been united in that way. That has been a huge strength to me. But this morning we're talking about the church. They will know we are Christians by our unity. I'm going to go through an enormous number of passages of Scripture this morning. I know that is difficult for some of you. In the bulletin, we have a list of all of them. But I think we need to look at what God says about unity. And then we need to look at things that create unity and things that defeat unity. You know, Jesus called for unity. Have you ever thought about how many passages there are in God's Word where Jesus talks about unity? Let me run a few by you. In John 10 and verse 16, Jesus says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they may hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." In John 17, verse 11, Jesus' prayer, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." Paul, writing in Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 13, speaking of Christ, quote, "has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, that he might reconcile both to God one body by the cross." In Matthew 6, in verse 18, Jesus talked about building one church, his church. And back to Ephesians in the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 4, the writer Paul says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one faith, one Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Jesus calls for unity. The Bible gives us attitudes to encourage unity, beginning with verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the call you have received, with perfect humility and gentleness, making allowances for one another." Let me start again. "I have therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the call you have received with perfect humility and gentleness, making allowances for one another." Oh boy, have you had to make allowances for me. He continues, "because you love one another, earnestly striving to maintain the unity of spirit, bound together with the bond of peace." James 3, beginning with verse 13. The scripture says, "Who among you is wise and learned? Let him show by his good life, that his conduct is guided by wise. But if you have bitter jealousy and a party spirit in your hearts, do not pride yourselves on that. And be false to the truth. That is not wisdom that comes from above. It belongs to the earth and to the unspiritual nature and the evil spirits. For where jealousy and selfish ambition is, there is disharmony and all kinds of evil. But wisdom that comes from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, ready to be convinced. There's a challenge. Are we ready to be convinced? Full of mercy and good fruits, free from doubts, wavering, and insecurity. The fruit of righteousness is shown in peace by those who work for peace. Hey, look at how much of the scripture deals with the concept of unity. The Holy Spirit calls for unity. We just sang about that. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 13, for indeed we are brought into one body by baptism in the one Spirit, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and all have been given to drink at one source and the one Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a singular being. Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow Christians with every other Christian. And you belong to the household of God. You have been built up by the foundation laid by the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone. In union with him, the whole building is harmoniously fitted together and continues to grow into a sacred temple through its union with the Lord and yourselves, in union with him, in fellowship with each other, are being built up so that God may find in you a dwelling place for the Spirit. The Holy Spirit calls for unity. Jesus calls for unity. In Ephesians 4, again, beginning in verse 13, earnestly striving to maintain the unity of the Spirit, bound together with the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. As also you were called, you had one and the same hope held out to you. There is but one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is but one God and Father of us all, who is over all and works through all and dwells in all. Every one of us, however, has been entrusted with some charge out of the diversity of Christ giving. I mean, listen to the number of scriptures that deal with unity. And we just sang that song. What a great choice Carl made with that song. They'll know we are Christians by our love, by our unity. Has that been the case? You know, there are things that create unity. And one of the things that I'm very proud of in this congregation is the fact that we have had incredible unity. I lay a lot of that at the feet of Bill Gibson. You may not know this, but he is the church treasurer. He's the one that writes the checks. And one of the things that has been true of Bill is it's hard to get him to write a check until he's 100% convinced that 100% of the people are behind what he's doing. We like to never get this carpet down. We finally had to get Bill up and sing to him, "Get the carpet." Now, that's not a criticism. That's what promotes unity. And Bill has been a kind and gentle user of the Lord's resources here, and he has promoted unity because of that. Glorifying God is one of the things that promotes unity. You know, the Bible makes this so clear. Romans 15, beginning with verse 5, may God, the source of all fortitude and encouragement, grant you to be like-minded toward one another in Christ, that you may with one mind, you hearing that? One mind, that's your thinking. With one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. If you are glorifying God, you have no room for stupid human issues. If you're glorifying God, if your focus is on God, if you're coming here and you're listening to the songs we sing and the prayers we utter and what happens during communion, you don't have time to worry about what the preacher's wearing. You say, well, that's always a battle. Yeah, I know, just ask my wife. You don't have time to be concerned about how we're handling our benevolence or about who needs special attention. We are glorifying God. The things that divide us are inevitably not doctrinal things. Every split I have ever heard of in the church has been because of things that had nothing to do with glorifying God. If we're glorifying God, that will promote unity. And the other one that is a major contributor to unity is loving Christ. I want you to listen to Romans 12, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, I plead with you, brethren, in view of all the mercies of God, that you offer your very selves to Him, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is the worship due from you as rational creatures. Now listen to this phrase. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Folks, that's what's happening in today's world. The world is trying to squeeze us into the values and the attitudes and the conduct that we see out there. Paul says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but be transformed, and listen to this phrase, by the complete change that has come over your minds. See, how we think is what promotes unity. We have to understand that if we become Christians, our mind changes. We think differently. He goes on and says that you may discern what is the will of God and what is well and pleasing. What are your priorities? What's your concept of love? There's a wonderful passage in 1 John. And I know this is lengthy, but I think it's worth reading. We're starting with 1 John 4, starting with verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. We just sang about that, didn't we? Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And the word for love used here is agape all the way through. It is a concern for others. It's not a sexual reference. It's a concern for how we think. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely upon the love of God has for us. God is love. Whosoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. I'm in verse 17. Love is made complete among us, so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The man who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. And he has given us the commandment, whosoever loves God must also love his brother. I have to love you. I have to be concerned about your soul. If I'm a Christian, that is mandatory for me. And unity depends upon my capacity to express that to you, to be concerned about you. So that when you're sick, I want to be of help. When you need something, to be able to provide it. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter in Corinthians. Verse 13 ends that discussion. It says, in a word, there are three things that last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the most important of these is love. Quote, unquote. Those are the things that create unity. Focusing on God, not on issues. And letting the Spirit move us to have an agape type of love for everyone. That's hard. Some people are not lovable. But we still have to be concerned about them and love them as God loves us. Because we're not very lovable sometimes either, are we? So what defeats unity? Well, one of the major things is human traditions. Jesus said that so clearly in Mark, the 7th chapter, beginning of verse 1. Holding the traditions of the elders, Isaiah wrote, and this is Jesus quoting Isaiah, this people pays lip service to me, but their heart is far from me. How well does that describe so many in the religious world today? These people pay lip service to me. You hear that on television, you hear it on radio, sometimes you hear it from the pulpit. But their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You have a fine way of setting aside the commandments of God in order to keep your own tradition. You know, one of the things we have to be concerned about, and this concerns us as a congregation, it concerns us as an individual, is are there any traditions we have which violate the commandments of God? You know, if we sit down and study it, and in our Bible classes, we have talked about this repeatedly. The answer to that is, yeah, there sometimes we have things we do, which in reality, when we think about it, are not very biblical. We have traditions of saying, if you're not here, then you're not worshiping. We had a whole one-hour sermon on that 2 weeks ago. Worship is 24/7, not 11 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Last week we talked about being a priest,
and that we're all priests. A priest is a minister. So this lesson is part of a three-part series. You may not realize this, but I do tend to, you know, connect lessons. Another thing that defeats unity is names. The church in Corinth had a problem with this. But I want you to think about us as you think about this passage. This is 1 Corinthians 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and not allow yourselves to be split up into factions. Oh boy. All together you should be achieving unity in the same mind and the same judgment. But a party spirit exists among you, he says to the church in Corinth. Each of you has a cry of his own. I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I belong to Peter. I owe my faith to Christ alone. Isn't that interesting? How many names do we see in the religious world today? Well, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Catholic. On and on and on. Why do we wear different names?
You say, "Whoa, well, those folks out there, we don't have that problem."
Oh, yeah? You want to bet? There's a book called Churches of Christ Today. They have it broken down. Mainline church. International church. Non-institutional church. A cappella church. Instrumental church. One cupper church. Charismatic church.
Have we broken
the Lord's body down by different names? You know, we can't point fingers at anybody else. We got our own problems. This congregation is not identified with anything except Jesus Christ.
I have seen marquees like our sign out in front that list all the beliefs of a particular congregation. Names describing issues that don't have anything to do with glorifying God, that don't have anything to do with loving Christ. As a matter of fact, if anything, they reflect a lack of love. I'm so thankful that our sign is a sign of encouragement. Carl does not let us get into hatchet jobs on anybody else. And I'm thankful, as he does that sign, that he pays attention to that. Another thing that defeats unity is a failure to follow Christ as the only authority. Oh boy. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus says, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth." In Luke 6 and verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I say?" In Matthew 7, starting with verse 21, he says, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who actually does the will of my Father." So many will say to me in that day, well, you know the rest of it. Concluded with, "I never knew you." Another failure is sinful flesh. Galatians 5, beginning with verse 19, lists the works of the flesh and contrasts it with the fruit of the Spirit. Another thing that defeats unity is jealousy. I don't think we have the problem here. And you know why we don't? Because we don't have a full-time paid preacher. We don't have any cause for jealousy. James 4, beginning in verse 1, says, "What is the cause of fighting and quarreling that goes on among you?" Oh boy, I've known congregations where there was just nothing but fighting and quarreling, and some of you do too. Is it not found in the desires that are at war within you? You crave, but you don't obtain. You murder and rage, yet you cannot gain your end. You wrangle and fight and miss what you want because you do not ask God for it, and then you ask but do not receive because you ask amiss to consume it on your lust. Brethren, we need to pray for unity. Brethren, we need to thank God that we are a group of people that are more concerned about doing than we are about criticizing. We need to thank God that we have a capacity to work for unity. And then we have people, and I mentioned Bill specifically, the people who have done everything in their power to promote unity. Let us strive to continue that. And as we look at our marriages, as we look at our families, as we look at our relationships, we need to look at the principles that we have just read. God's role, God's Spirit working with us to give us the kind of unity that we need. We need for our own well-being. We need for our own families. So they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. We can make that work. But it's not something that we will take lightly or that will come easily. Let us close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we come to you this morning having talked about what Jesus prayed for, what the Spirit has moved us to accept for what your word says about how we can be one. God, forgive us for what we have said and done that has not created unity. We pray that as a body of people, that we will have a mindset to want to desire the oneness that we sang about, that they will know we are one. We are Christians by our love. Father, we're weak. We're selfish. We make ridiculous mistakes. We thank you, God, that at a time like this, we can look into your word and see what you desire for us, what Christ wanted for us, what the Spirit desires for us, what your word says about us. Help us have a mindset to make our marriages united. Help us have a mindset to be concerned about every human being and to not be critical of our attempts to reach out to those that might not be accepted by society or who might be users. God, help us to glorify you as the source of such strength that they will know we are Christians by our love. And Father, help us to be of assistance to one another in developing this feeling, this mindset of wanting the oneness that you and Jesus have, as the scripture says. And above all, Father, forgive us. Help us to be agents of love. Help us to offer an island in a sea of disharmony and conflict and selfishness and jealousy. A body of people who just want to serve, who just want to care, who just want to support one another. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Carl has selected a song for us to close with this morning. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you're not a Christian, it's so important for you to jump into the unity we have talked about this morning by being a child of God. So if you're subject to the invitation, you can respond here, you can respond 24/7. Allow us to assist you in your obedience to the Lord, whatever your need might be. We encourage you to come as together we stand and sing, Nothing but the blood of Jesus.